You all for coming out. Who thought we'd have snow today? Not me. Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird? Rain and snow. And well, pastor's away today. I'd like to, we want to pray for him. Pray he's got a little stomach bug or something. So keep him in prayer if you would. We got the kids in here, so we're going to keep it short today. I hope that's okay with everybody. I never heard anyone complain about that, but their attention span's a little bit smaller than big church, so we try to keep it a little bit shorter for them. But and our lesson today is in Luke chapter number 18. Kids, how do we find things in the Bible? Can somebody tell me over here? One of you, how, Silas? Right, good job, Silas. He's pretty smart. And the Bible has two main sections in it. Who knows what those are, kids? Silas again. Very good. Awesome. The book of Luke, is it in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Who can tell me that? New. Silas is getting the prize today, it looks like. He's got all the answers. Good job. He's a smart boy. I'm so glad that he's learning. I'm so thankful to be able to teach him. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 18 that, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So how do we pray in junior church? Who can tell me how we do that? Anybody but Silas? Sophie's hands up. How do we pray in junior church? Yeah, let's do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what we're going to learn today. Thank you for the folks that came out today. We pray for those that are away. Pray that you'd keep everybody healthy and safe, Lord. And we love you. We pray for our nation and our leadership. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end. We told the kids last week that this is Jesus tells why he's telling the story before he tells the story. I like that. It makes it easier. But we still need to pay attention. He says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Our lesson today is how to come to Jesus. How to come to Jesus. You could say how to come to God, how to come to the kingdom. We're going to stay here in Luke chapter 18 and see five attitudes or five examples of good examples and bad examples of people that came to pray. But the first one here is, it says there is in a city, a judge which feared God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So the first example we have here is a widow. A widow. She's in this parable that Jesus is telling. There was in a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Not a very good judge, really. It doesn't sound like. Not a good example at all. But this widow is our good example. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In verse number 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? So our first example here is the widow. What's the big deal about this widow? Well, she came to Jesus, or she came to the judge, right? That's the first thing. You got to come to the judge if you want help. If you're thirsty, you got to come to the well. If you're hungry, you got to come to the kitchen or come to the supper table, right? So she came to the judge. She came to the right place, but the judge was not a good judge. He didn't care. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about man. What makes the widow unique is she kept coming. She kept coming. So not only did she come, but she kept coming. And she was coming to the right place to get help. She wasn't getting it, but she kept coming. And finally, she wore the judge out, and she got She got what she wants. You know, when we come to Jesus, we don't need to just come once. We need to keep coming, right? And we need to keep coming until we get what we came for, right? What do we want? This lady want she was a widow, and she was wronged, and she wanted and she wanted it made right, and the judge made it right. So when we come to Jesus, we need to come with the attitude of the widow, just persistent. You know, you come to church and things don't work out. It's not maybe you didn't have the from a kid's point of view, maybe you didn't get cookies, or maybe you didn't get picked for the best behaved, or maybe you didn't get any hot chocolate, or maybe somebody looked at you wrong or didn't shake your hand or whatever, and it just wasn't a great experience. Come on back. Come on back, kids. Amen. It'll be all right. Next week you might win, you know. You're not going to win. You can't win every single week. You won't be the best behaved. Even if you are the best behaved, I won't pick you every single week just because there's other kids that are doing good too, and I'll pick them sometimes. I can't pick the same person every time. So keep on coming back. Keep on coming back. That's what the widow did. When you come to Jesus, don't just come. It's not a one and done thing. Okay, I came to church. I got saved. I don't have to come to church anymore. No, come on back. Come on back. Don't be shy. Bring somebody with you. But anyhow, this widow, she just kept on coming. You know what I like about Lyric? Even during daylight savings time, we knocked on her door. Boom, she came. Even when sometimes, you know, when you have a bus route, there's always them days that are just tough days. Daylight savings, one of them. Holidays are another one of them. But it seems like God always gives you one child that never misses, and that's your encouragement child. And she's mine. She's mine. Jaleb's mine. He's good like that. I can count on him. And they make me smile. Sometimes I'll be a little bit down. Oh, so-and-so didn't come today, or nobody answered their doors, whatever. But I'm thankful that she not just come, but she keeps on coming. And she comes again and again and again. Thank you, Lyric. Good job. You're like this widow lady. So when we come to Jesus, we need to keep on coming like this widow. Secondly, here in verse number 9, he spake a parable unto them which trusted in himself that they were righteous and despised others. Jesus says here, it's in red in the Bible. That means Jesus is talking, right, kids? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So we see there's going to be a good example and a bad example here. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Jesus is still talking here. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the second example here is the publican. The publican were the tax collectors, and I don't know anybody that likes paying taxes. Do you? No. Abby's crying about paying her. She owed some this year. And I ended up owing the state. You probably ended up owing some too. Maybe you got a big fat check back, praise the Lord, but you don't like paying it. You don't like paying taxes. And I don't like the people taking my taxes either. But Jesus said that this publican came to Jesus the right way. He wouldn't even look up. He beat upon his chest and said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's different than the Pharisee. The Pharisee says, God, I thank you. And he had a nice, pretty prayer. I'm not as bad as extortioners. I'm not as bad as this guy and that guy. And I'm not as bad as that publican over there. Look at him. Jesus said one of them went down to his house justified and the other didn't. One of them came to God the right way, like the widow. And one came to God the wrong way. So how did the publican came to God? He came to Jesus in humility, didn't he? He came to Jesus realizing he was a sinner. He came to Jesus begging for mercy, not a pat on the back. That's what the publican did. You know, when we come to church, we need to come to church not because we know it all or not because we want to show off to people our fancy clothes and things, kids, right? And show off our new toys that we got. And not we don't want to come to church to act up and act like we're better than anybody else. No, we're not. We just want to come to Jesus understanding that we're a sinner. That we're a sinner and we got problems and we have needs. And we're coming to Jesus just like the widow to meet those needs. And we're asking him for help, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. And we're completely bankrupt, just like this publican was. This publican, nobody he wasn't popular. And if he was, it was the wrong kind of popular. That everybody hated him equally. But God loved him. You know, we need to be like him when we come to church. That's in humility. And what's that mean? That means understanding that we're little and God's big. And our sin is big. And God should punish us for that. But when we ask him for mercy, we go home justified. We need to come to church like that, kids. We need to come to church like that, adults, like this publican did in humility. He bowed down. He wouldn't even look up. He understood his condition. He understood the greatness of God and the greatness of his sin. And he would not act like he was a Mr. Big Shot. So we've got the widow. She's a good example. She just kept on coming. And she got turned away. No, get away. Leave me alone. And we got this publican that wouldn't even show his face. The church people were all looking down on him, giving him a hard time, making him feel small, making him feel dirty. But he wasn't coming for them. He came to get some justification. He came to get right with God. He came to get some mercy. And that's what we need to come and get too. So let's be like the publican. And then Jesus says also here's one for the kids. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. And Jesus called them unto him and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." So the third way, we the right way, I think, to come to Jesus is like a child. Why do children come to church? Well, they're told to a lot of times, right? In a Christian home, they're made to a lot of times. But they want to. Why? Games? Fun? Candy? Cookies? Honestly, come on. That's why they come. Adults do too sometimes, right? People follow Jesus for the loaves and fishes. But also for fellowship, to see their friends and stuff like that. Why do kids come? It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. It's fun, you know. Or mom and dad make them, one of the two. But you know what? Church ought to be fun. Church ought to be fun. It ought to be a good time. It ought to be a good experience. Keep on coming. If it's not one Sunday, like the widow, keep on coming. And if you're like the publican and feel like everybody's looking down on you, keep on coming because you're not coming for them, right? You're coming for Jesus. And come like a child. Just do it, you know? You don't have to understand it all. You know, if we waited until we understood the Bible in full before we ever acted on it, we'd never act on it. We'd never come. We just got to come. And God will meet us where we are. Whether we're a four-year-old like Levi. Little Levi, he just sits in junior church. He sits up straight and tall. And we got the songs up here with the words on them. He can't even read. He can't read yet. Silas is just learning how to read, but they're doing their best. They're standing there, and they don't get in trouble for not singing. They're learning. They're mumbling along, you know. But the sixth graders, of course, they sing good. They're doing it. You know, God will meet us right where we're at. We're not all at the same place. We're not all at the same place. You know, he's not even junior church age yet, and he behaved. Last week, he won the best behaved, didn't you? In the whole junior church, and he was three, and he's not even half of the age of to start out in there. So I mean, he does it, and we need to come to God like just do our best. Come on and come and just do your best. Grab what you can. You're not going to get it all, but You'll pick it up. It's kind of like learning a new language. Drop you off in China, and the first day is going to be a rough day for you. But after a while, you kind of pick up the language. You start to learn it and figure it out. And before long, you're teaching people Chinese, you know. So anyhow, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we can come to church like children. Just come. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to know your books of the Bible. When I first came to church, I didn't know how to spell Baptist. I barely knew how to spell church. I was a mess, you know. Smelled like the world, looked like the world, and long hair, smelled like smoke. Looked like I just escaped hell. But I kept on coming, you know. I didn't know what he was talking. Every time he preached, it was something I'd never heard of before. It was all new. I was like a little child. I was a grown-up, but I was like a little child. I went to help out in junior church, and I was learning right there with the kids because my spiritual intellect was the same as theirs. It was all new to me. It was all brand new. So keep on coming. Just like a child, have some fun. Have some candy, right? Have some prizes. It's okay. The disciples didn't like it. The disciples didn't like it. Get them kids out of here. Them kids don't belong in the auditorium. Quit running. Quit fighting. Quit doing this. Quit doing that. You kids are making a mess, you know. It's expensive to run a bus. It's expensive sometimes to run a junior church. And children's ministries, they don't pay for themselves. I mean, they don't. The kids don't have any money. And we don't even pass an offering in junior church currently. I have before, but, you know, it's expensive. Jesus says, suffer the little children. Hey, it's going to cost you something. It's a little bit of suffering, you know, but it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, the world will take them. Turn them into gangbangers and stuff. We need to love our children. It's a whole lot better to fix kids, raise kids right, than fix adults that are all twisted up and messed up in every way. Anyhow, the third example is we need to come to Jesus like a child. The children don't got anything to give, right? Just come on to church. Just come on. We're not asking anything of you. You don't have to pay nothing, kids. We're here for you. We're going to pay your way. We're going to take care of you. We love you. You're going to find love here, right? This is your church. You're not the church of the future, Silas. This isn't your church one day. This is your church now. This is your church now, kids. Lyric, this is your church. It's not going to be your church one day. It's your church now. We love you. You're a part of this, right? Sophie, same way. You're not the future. You're the present and the future, but you're the present now. You're important to us now. We're not investing in you so one day you'll do something good for God. No, we're investing in you right now because you can do good for God right now. Amen. Lyric goes all over her apartment complex every weekend, inviting her friends to church. Today she knocked on somebody's door and they were mean to her, and she came back to the bus crying. And I told her, I said, Lyric, Jesus said that we're blessed when people speak evil of us and talk down to us. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. I said, you just keep on knocking, honey. And she does it every week. And they haven't come yet, but it's not her fault. She's asking them. She's inviting them. We need to be like that, don't we? Have you knocked on your neighbor's doors? Have you invited your friends in your neighborhood? Hey, we got to come to Jesus like a child. Jesus goes on to give a couple more examples here and we'll be done, okay? He says that there was a certain ruler that asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. He feels pretty good about himself here. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly Shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? That's a good question, kids. Who can be saved? We ought to be asking, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? It's a good question. Well, you're not going to get saved by doing all these commandments, apparently. This guy said he's done them all. And Jesus said, but one, you haven't. Go sell all of your stuff. And he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And then here's our fourth example. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you that there is no man that have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom's sake, who will not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. We need to be like Peter. Like Peter, he said, hey, I left everything. I left my family. I left my home. I left everything and followed you, Jesus. And Jesus said, you're going to get a reward, Peter. We need to be like Peter and just follow Jesus. Leave everything behind. Leave it all behind. It's not worth taking anyway. You know, it's just a bunch of garbage. Everything you see is going to end up in a junkyard one day or a rubbish heap someday. I mean, just leave it behind and let's just follow Jesus like Peter did. And, you know, they say, well, we'll follow Jesus and one day we'll get prizes in heaven for it. Jesus says right here, you're going to get prizes on earth for it. He's not on the delayed blessing program. He's going to bless you right now and later. That's called worth it. That's called good, right? We need to follow God. How did Peter come to Jesus? He was just out doing his thing, fishing. Jesus said, come, and he went, just like that. Just like that, left the nets, left his family business, left his parents. I mean, left it all. He didn't look back. He just followed Jesus. Is that how you follow him? Is that how you come to Jesus? Man, just come. And get in and get busy and don't worry about what you left behind. What's in front of you is better than what's back there. I promise you. I promise you. I came from all that back there and I don't desire it back in my life. It's not better. It's not better. I look back on my life, kids, and I spent a lot of money going to rock concerts and on cigarettes and on alcohol and all of that stuff just made me sick. It took my money, it left me broke, it gave me a headache, and in the end I had nothing. Now I come to church, it doesn't cost anything really, and I have a good time, and I come home and I feel full and happy and everything's great, and I've got friends that love me for who I am, not for because I can get them booze or get them cigarettes or do bad things for them. I got real friends. You know, one time I was with my friends and I passed out because we were doing things that we weren't supposed to be doing, and I just fell down. I could have been dead as far as they knew, and they all ran and just left me there. And the police came and resuscitated me, and I was like, where'd all my friends go? We were all having such a good time. Not one of them cared about me. I could have died. They weren't friends. I know I've got friends here that if I passed out, they would help me. They would help me. And then they might laugh at me afterwards, but they'd help me, right? I mean, we want good friends. When we follow Jesus, man, that's the real thing. That's the real thing, following Jesus like Peter did. Do you think Peter regretted following Jesus? What was the alternative? A bunch of smelly fish, right? Fish are okay, but they're slimy, right? And they stink, and they're a lot of work, and they require a lot of patience and stuff like that. Being around a bunch of fishermen all day, I'd rather be around Jesus, wouldn't you? Amen. Anyhow, he's our fourth example. We can be like him. And then finally here, in verse 31, we'll go kind of quickly here. In verse 31, and he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, I go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, and he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. See, Lyric, they didn't treat Jesus right either. They sure didn't. And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Just like kids, sometimes in junior church, the lesson just goes right over their head. You know what? It does grown-ups too. We just fake it better. We just fake it. We just act like we got it when we're saying amen. And we're thinking, what in the world is he even talking about, right? And they understood none of these things. It came to pass that as he was coming to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And he's our fifth example, the blind man. He came to Jesus. He's sitting by the wayside begging. He was in the way, and he was begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Hey, what's going on? He couldn't see to know what it was. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This blind man came to Jesus. He was just in the way, and he cried out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him. So a lot of people were like, hey, be quiet. Get out of the way. Shut up. You're nothing. Get out of here. But that man cried out to Jesus, so much the more, the Bible says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So we can come to Jesus like the widow, just keep on coming, just keep on coming. We can come to Jesus like the publican who he knew he was just happy to be there. He really didn't belong. He was out of place, so to speak. But Jesus, I think, was saying he's more out in place than this Pharisee over here, right? We can come to Jesus in humility. We can come to Jesus like a child, can't we? We can come to Jesus like a child and just, hey, just pick up where you left off. Pick up what you can get. A lot of it's going to go over your head, but sit there and take it in, you know. Learn a little bit. Learn your ABCs before you learn how to read. It's okay. And we can come to Jesus like Peter did and just drop everything and come. And just forget about everything back there. It's not worth it. It's not worth anything anyhow. And we can come to Jesus like this blind man. People tried to get him out of there. Hey, you don't belong here. Get out of the way. This isn't about you. Move on down the road. But he did it so much the more. He said, hey, no, I was a foster child. My first night in foster home, I was in a cold basement. Cinder blocks all around me, no windows, just a couple of beds down there, that's it. And it was dark. Me and my brother just laying there. First night, we're going to sleep at this place. And I was like, I guess it's just me and you now. I guess it's just, you're all the family I got. You're all I got left in this world to my brother. And I didn't know the Lord, but I knew something. And I'd heard somewhere that God was a father to the fatherless. I heard that somewhere. I heard somebody say that somewhere. And I knew in my heart that even though I said that to my brother, I was like, you know what? God's out there and he loves me. He's watching out for me. I knew that inside somehow, somewhere. And this blind man, people tried to shoo him away, but he knew something about Jesus. There was a seed planted in his life. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus could do. And Jesus asked him, what do you want? And he told him. He told him straight up, and he got what he wanted. You know, we can come to Jesus just like this blind man. Hey, what are you here for? What if Jesus asked you, I'll give you anything you want today. Hey, You were in the right place. You were in the way, right, so to speak. And you kept on coming. What can I do for you? What would you answer? Well, you're probably not going to do it anyway. I'm okay. I'll just go on home just like I came. Not this blind man. He didn't have to be asked twice, what do you want me to do? He had something that he wanted, and he spoke up. What do you want? What do you want? What's troubling you? What's keeping you up at night? What's got you down? What's on your heart? What one thing could Jesus do for you? Would you have Jesus do for you if he said, I'll do anything for you right now? What would it be? There was a time when I would have said, save my mama. I prayed, take my salvation and give it to her, God. Because she's had a hard life. And I can't imagine going from that to a devil's hell. Save my mama. And if you got to take it from me to do it, do it. And he saved her. It doesn't work like that, you know. We don't get to take our salvation and give it to somebody. But that was on my heart. God gave it to me. He saved her. She's in heaven today. Amen. What's on your heart? Something. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a medical thing. I don't know. God knows. And he's still in the miracle working business. He's not weaker now than he was then. He hasn't changed. He's forever the same. We can come to Jesus like this blind man. He didn't even know what was going on, necessarily. Somebody had to tell him. But anyhow, these are some ways that we can come to Jesus. Now, there's some ways not to come to Jesus. Just like on the good side, we can come to him like all these examples, right? But there's also some bad examples. There was an unjust judge. We don't need that in the church, do we? Somebody who doesn't care about God or man, doesn't care about anybody, we don't need that. There was the Pharisee. We don't need to come to church like that, thinking we're better than everybody else. Boys and girls, we don't need to be like that, do we? So there's some bad examples, too. We don't need to be like this certain ruler who thought that he was good enough to get himself into heaven by his own works. No, we don't need people like that. He was stingy. He wouldn't give to the poor. We don't need to be like the rebuker here, telling the blind man to get out of the way, shush up, move out of the way, hush your mouth. No, we don't need to be like that, kids, do we? Conclusion here. Let's go home avenged. Let's go home justified. Let's go home having received the kingdom of God, like a little child. Let's go home having entered in and have eternal life. Let's go home having left all and followed Jesus. Let's go home having received our sight, like the widow, like the publican, like the children, like Peter, and like the blind man. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for these great examples in the Bible of how we should come to church, how we should come to you, how we should approach you, how we should act, how we should be. And there's also some examples of how we shouldn't be. Help us not to be like that. We want something from you today. We don't want to go home the same way we came, thinking we're something. You're something, God, and we need you. We pray that you'll help us today. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.